Well, the Lord has certainly blessed me in this life. God has been good to me in this world. And in the world to come, He's really going to be good to me. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to that place that God has prepared for His people. I know that, you know, there have been songs written, and I believe I know, you know, their intent and what they were saying, but there have been songs written about, you know, just having a little cabin in the corner of heaven somewhere. No, just put me right in the middle of all of it. I want to see all of it. I want to see everything that God has prepared for His people. And I think I know where we're all going to be anyway, don't you? We're going to be right there at the feet of Jesus, there at the throne, worshiping Him forever. It's good to be here. Thank the Lord for salvation. I'd like to call your attention to the 7th chapter of Matthew for a scripture reading today. You have your Bibles and would like to read with me, I would encourage you to do so. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, and I want to read a short scripture lesson beginning with the 24th verse and finishing the 7th chapter of Matthew. Beginning with the 24th verse in the words of Jesus, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat up on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat up on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." And these verses that I've read before you from the latter part of the 24th or the 7th chapter of Matthew, rather, beginning with the 24th verse, these verses are really the conclusion, the closing, if you will, of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Now, there had been many things, and you go back and you read through the 5th chapter of Matthew and the 6th chapter and the rest of the 7th chapter of Matthew prior to what I read. And there were many things that the Lord Jesus taught, many things that He said, and then He began to close the discourse, the sermon, by talking about the wisdom that would be in those that would hear His sayings and do them, and the folly of those that would not. And He compared them to someone that would build a house, and one would build it on a proper foundation, and another would build it on a foundation that was not proper. And I want to speak today about being built on the rock. Jesus said that it was the wise man that would do that, that would hear his sayings and do them. Jesus said, "I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." He's talking about building on a proper foundation. And he says that the one, the wise man that built his house upon the rock, the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it didn't fall because of the foundation, because it was founded upon the rock, not because of the way that it was constructed or what it was made of, but because of the foundation that it was on. And he goes in contrast to that. He said those that hear his sayings and don't do them, he would liken that person unto a foolish man that just built his house up on the sand. And the same thing happened. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat up on the house, and it did fall. And great was the fall of it. Now, in these scriptures, Jesus is not trying to teach us literally how to build houses. If somebody was going to build a house and they didn't know the first thing about it, I think they could turn to these scriptures and they could learn where they needed to start. They could learn from this that they needed to start with a proper foundation, with a rock-solid foundation. If their house was going to stand, they wouldn't want to just go out and set it up on the ground somewhere without starting any kind of foundation. And I remember several years ago, I worked for a while with some men that build houses. I worked for them as a laborer, and I would, do whatever they asked me to do. And that was something that I noticed, that they never did build a house. And while I worked for them, they built several houses. We went out and worked on building several houses, and I noticed that they never did build a house without first laying a proper foundation to build it on. And so literally, physically, the things that Jesus spoke of here are true, but he wasn't just teaching us how to build houses. This has a great, and I believe a very, very important spiritual meaning to it. And listen, if you're not on the rock, if you're not on the proper foundation, then it doesn't matter what you do. It's not going to stand. And I want to make this statement before I move on about something that Jesus said in these verses. It's not a question of whether or not the storm is going to come, because it is inevitable that it's going to come. You need to understand that it is going to be tested. It's going to be tried. Your foundation, whatever that it is, whether you have built up on the rock or whether that you have built up on the sand, is going to be tested. The storm is coming, friends, and you need to understand that. And so it's not a question of if, but it's a question of when, because it's inevitable that it is going to be tried. In the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, I believe that we are told about that. When the sixth seal was opened, and the Bible talks about there being a great earthquake, and the sun becoming as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon, turning to blood, and the stars falling from heaven, and the moon no longer giving off its light. And it talks about in that sixth chapter of Revelation, it talks about, I believe, about the end of time when the Lord comes, when he returns, the things that are going to take place. And in the 17th verse of that sixth chapter of Revelation, in the end of that chapter, it says, "The great day of his wrath is come." Now that, friends, that's the storm that you need to be ready for. The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That was a question that was asked in that verse. The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Anybody know the answer to that? Listen, only those who have built upon the proper foundation will be able to stand. Only those houses will stand when that storm of God's wrath comes, and those who are built up on the sand are surely going to fall. And I want you to notice something that Jesus said when he spoke about the house that was built upon the sand. He said, when it fell, great was the fall of it. Listen, lost friend, if you lose your soul, you've lost everything. You've lost everything. What a great fall is going to take place for those who are not properly prepared, for those who have not built upon the rock. I'd like to speak a little bit about some of the things that the scriptures talk about and how that God is often compared and called the rock. In the 40th Psalm, in the first three verses, the psalmist wrote and said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the sand, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Now, those of you that are here today that have been saved by God's grace, aren't you thankful for what the Lord did for you in that hour when he saved you from your sins? He brought us up out of the miry clay. And again, that's not talking about something literal. That's talking about something that's spiritual. But think about it. Think about being in a pit, just bogged down in miry clay and not able to get out, just stuck in that old nasty clay, and somebody come along and pick you up out of that and clean you up and set you up on a rock and give you a song to sing. And that's exactly what the psalmist said that the Lord did for him when he saved him. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Those of you that are here today that have been saved by God's grace, were you not crying out to God for that? Were you not calling upon his holy name, seeking him for the salvation of your soul? Did you not realize in that that you were in the miry clay, that you were in the bondage of sin, that sin had you in its grip, and that you could not get away from it, that it was going to take somebody stronger than you to bring you out of that. We cried unto the Lord and sought him for that which only he could do. And he lifted us up out of that. He picked us up and he brought us up out of the miry clay, and he placed our feet upon a rock. And friends, I'm telling you today that that rock is nothing short and nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation that we must be standing on if we're going to be able to withstand the storm that is coming. You got to be on the rock. And so I thank the Lord for bringing me out of sin. You know, the Lord, before he brought me up, he brought me down. Did he do that to you? Before he brought you up, David said in the 116th Psalm, here we find in the 40th Psalm where he's talking about how that the Lord brought him up. In the 116th Psalm, he's talking about how the Lord brought him down. He says, I was brought low and he helped me. And I thank God for both of those things. Listen, I thank the Lord for the time that he brought me down. I thank the Lord for convicting me of my sin. I thank him for the work of his Holy Spirit, wherein he made it known to me that I was a sinner, that I was guilty of sin before God, that I was lost and without him, that he made it known to me that I was going to die without him. And God revealed those things to me by his Spirit working with, by his Holy Spirit working with my spirit. He brought me to my lowest state. God brought me down to the lowest that I had ever been. Oh, there's people in the world today that say, God don't do stuff like that. Yes, he does. He does. He brought me low. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for that, I never would have seen my true need for God. If he wouldn't have showed me what I really was without him, I would have never seen my true need for him. It was in that low estate, it was in that low condition that God had brought me to that I realized how desperately I needed him. And I began to cry unto God, and he heard my cry. Thank God he heard my prayer and my supplications and inclined his ear unto me, and that God had the power to reach down. Listen, when I got saved, and I know that it's the same with everybody, regardless of where you got saved, regardless of the circumstances surrounding it, it's the same with everybody that truly gets saved. I was reaching up to him. I was reaching up, and God reached down. He reached down, and he picked me up. He brought me up out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto God. And I've been singing it ever since. And I've been happy in my soul ever since. The Lord saved me. I've been happy. I've had that with me ever since. I mean, from the very moment that he gave it to me, it's been there ever since. And we don't lose our salvation. We're eternally secure in the Lord. In the Psalms, the Lord is probably referred to as the rock in the Psalms more than he is in any other book in the Bible. In the 31st Psalm, in verses 2 and 3, the psalmist said, "Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." In the 62nd Psalm, in verse 2, I love these verses. In Psalm 62 and 2, the psalmist said, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." In the 6th verse, he says almost exactly the same thing. Almost word for word, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." In the 7th verse of that same chapter, that 62nd Psalm, it says, "In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." In Psalm 71, verse 3, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I continually resort." I do that. How about you? Are you always running to the Lord? Continually resorting to him? "Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress." Listen, I'm going to tell you again today. I know that you've heard me say this before. I'm going to tell you again today. I have nothing new to preach to you today. I'm just here again today to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. And I'm going to tell you again, if you're here today and you're lost, that if you have not been born again, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't know salvation. If your feet are not upon the rock, then you are lost and you're separated from God. If you don't have that foundation, the time is going to come. Either death is going to come to you, or you may be alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord, but either way, your foundation is going to be tried. If you're not built up on the rock, then your house is not going to stand. If you've not been born again by the Spirit of God, then you are in danger of eternal damnation. The Bible says that if you are in unbelief, not only will you one day be condemned, but you are condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I don't know what's going on in your hearts. I can't see your hearts. Only God can see your hearts. And the salvation of your soul is between you and the Lord. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're here today and you realize that you're lost and you're separated from God, you better make haste to come to the Lord and to repent of your sins and place your trust in Him and be saved, because we don't know when it's going to be tried. We don't know when that foundation is going to be put to the test. We don't know when the storm is going to come. I do know this, that if God has allowed you to be here today, that He has extended His mercy to you once again. You have an opportunity, friend, today to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul, to come to know Him as your Savior, to have Him pick you up today out of the pit of miry clay and place your feet up on a rock and put His Spirit and His love within you and make you happy for the rest of your days here on the earth. You have the privilege today and the opportunity today to make things right between you and God. Listen, if I knew that I was lost and separated from God, I wouldn't want to wait 1 minute. I wouldn't want to wait 1 minute to seek Him. To seek Him for the salvation of my soul. Why tarry? What will it profit? What will it profit you to tarry? You need to come to the Lord. The sand. Listen, I want to share this with you. Jesus once asked His disciples, and this is recorded in Matthew 16. He once asked His disciples, He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they answered Him and they said, "Well, there's some that are saying that you are Elijah. Some are saying that you're John the Baptist. Some are saying that you're one of the other prophets." I mean, people are saying different things about you, Jesus, as to who they think you are. And He asked them, "Okay, then who do you say that I am?" And the apostle Peter answered Him, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded to him and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I'm going to tell you exactly what I believe. You may have a different view, but I'm going to tell you what I believe Jesus was saying in those verses that are recorded in Matthew chapter 16. The apostle Peter told Jesus, he said, "I know who you are. You're the Christ." And Jesus praised him and blessed him in that, because it was not flesh and blood that had revealed it, but His Father in heaven. He had a spiritual revelation of who Jesus Christ was. He knew Him spiritually. And Jesus said, "And thou art Peter." And so Jesus established the fact that He knew Him. And I'll tell you, I believe that what He was saying there was that the rock that Jesus built His church upon are those that have truly been born of the Spirit and those that He truly knows as His children. This is the rock that I'm going to establish my church upon. This will be the very foundation. And listen, there are organizations in the world today. They call themselves churches, and there are many things. Many of them have grown to large numbers of people, and there are many things that they do, and they say, we have this ministry and that ministry and this outreach and that outreach. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. It doesn't make any difference what they're doing if they are not on the foundation, if they are a congregation of people that don't really know what it's like to be born of the Spirit, then they are built up on the sand. And when the winds begin to blow, their house is going to fall. There's a lot of people in the world today that just don't want to hear that. But it's true. It's true. If they're not built upon that born again experience with God, nothing will stand. Folks, that's our foundation, isn't it? We know Him. We know Him. And He knows us as His children. And He built His church upon such. The Bible tells me that the Lord adds to the church those that are saved. Those that are saved. You know what? We may, and you know, many churches have before. You know, people have made false professions and have been taken in and been baptized. And the church find out later through that person's own confession that they never were saved. And then they get saved. And, you know, I know that as people that happens. But the Lord adds to the church daily those that are saved. That's the foundation that He built His church upon. So I'm thankful today that my feet are on the rock, on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can be blessed by building on that foundation. We can be blessed by building on that foundation. The wise man hears the Lord's teachings. The wise man hears the truth of God's word, and he embraces it, and he believes it, and that's what he builds upon. The wise man builds up on the rock. The storms begin to come. The rains begin to fall. The flood comes. The winds, they beat on the house, and it stands. The foolish man doesn't lay the foundation, just constructs his house up on the sand, and the storm comes, and it falls. Greatly, it falls. Eternally, it falls. It falls into eternal damnation, eternal destruction, eternal fire, because it just wasn't built upon the proper foundation. If you're here today and you're lost, if you're lost today, I hope that you realize how desperate that your need is. I believe somebody said this last week, maybe in a testimony. But when I stand before you this morning, I'm closer to home than I was last week. I'm closer to being with God than I was last week. If you're here today and you're still lost, you're closer to the day of eternal damnation than you've ever been before, you need to come to the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let's have a song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's stand and sing. If you're here today and you're lost, won't you come to the Lord and seek Him for the salvation of your soul?